sure appreciate the Lord tonight. And I'm glad that I can know that all things are subject to God. And when the world around me seems to be falling down and the uncertainties of life crowd around, my faith takes in that God's in control. Not only is there a God in control, but that God has professed a profound love for me and that he sent his son to die for me. And my idea is that if he went to all that trouble to die for me, he's not going to give me up easy. So I count on that, to be honest with you. I appreciate God's love for me and chasing after me, those kind of things. I've noticed something in my living for the Lord. I noticed that people seem to like, fantastic things. People like big and gigantic things. They like exciting things. I don't really find... I mean, there's things that I definitely think is going to be fantastic. I think the Lord coming back would be fantastic. There's definitely things that I believe. I believe that when God divided the Red Sea, I think that was pretty fantastic. But to be honest with you, I don't find a lot of that in the interpretation of Scripture. I don't find a lot of that in my everyday life with God. I find it pretty simple stuff. I find God, the explanation for a lot, it's not always fantastic. It's generally down where you live. He ain't really trying to, His grace ain't really to make us do great things. It's a great grace that makes us do the simple things right. Or everything right. That kind of thing. I had been getting a lot of contacts and really have been enjoying it. I got on Facebook for the first time ever. I had people that expressed, "I never thought I'd see you here." Those kind of things on there. And I'll be honest with you, I was very cautious and leery of it. But I found out that it's been a wonderful tool. I've had contacts with people that I could never had contact before and was able to have prayer. It's been fascinating to me. Well, one of the contacts I had was, there were some folks in Pakistan, and I didn't really understand what they was doing altogether until they expressed to me, they asked the question, "Are you angry at me?" Well, no, I'm not angry. Why would you ask us a question? Well, if you ever tried this with these, the communications is really, really hard. It's hard to relay that with poor English, and it's really hard to. And so it asked if I was angry, and I said, "Well, no, I'm not angry. Why would you ask that?" "Well," we said, "we gave you three different scriptures, and you didn't comment on any of them." Well, my response was, "Well, you didn't ask, you told." But I mean, they was putting in an expression of telling me something, but they was waiting on me to answer it. And when I learned that, it really helped, because when it was genuine. They was wanting me to tell them, "What does this mean?" But I thought they was just telling me something, so I wouldn't really want to argue about it. And, you know, not that I can't be that way, but it was just, I wasn't wanting to be. And so they sent me this couple paragraphs, and I started reading it, and I was like, wow, this is good. No, this is really good. It was glorifying God. It was just telling them the wonders and the glorious of God, and I was really getting into it. I thought, you know, this is really good. I mean, I can see forward in that somebody. This is really good. And then I get down about halfway in it, and it makes the expression, "And we know that the rapture is going to happen before Israel's 74th birthday." What? I'm not into it, folks, really, but it's something like that. "And we know that, and that is quickly approaching us in 22 days. So if it don't happen tonight, we know that it's going to happen in the 21 days ahead. and March something and all of this and I looked at that and said, what a shame. But they put right in the middle of all of that just wonderful thoughts something fantastic, something out there, something that a lot of people love, that just the notion that to know something or to have a prophecy or something, or that I can make some simple prophecies without straining you all too much. I mean, there are some prophecies that's pretty easy to make. God said he'd never leave us or forsake us. It's not really all that fascinating, but boy, is it good. It's wonderful to get a hold of that. You know what I'm saying? That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear all the days of our, without fear and holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Well, that's not, I'm going to tell you something, that's fantastic. That's something to get a hold of. Can I really live that way? Well, a lot of people let that go, try to grab a fantastical idea or something great out there and pass by and don't even believe it. They don't even believe that we can live a victorious life. Must I in sinful bondage be deprived of peace and liberty? Amen. No, I don't have to. By God's grace, it ain't all that fantastic to the human mind, but it's fantastic to me. Lord, can I have victory in this life like that? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Right in this present world? Fantastic. I mean, unbelievable that Jesus came to do something that really is fantastic. It's out of ordinary. It's beyond what we could ever do. It's a miracle of miracles. It is the will of God 101. It is the express image of that we be like Jesus. I mean, Jesus was like the Father. He brought that, and this is, am I getting this right? That I can be like Jesus? Can I have the Spirit of Jesus living in me? Can I be led by the Holy Ghost? Can I live my life with the approval of God on me? Can I be accepted to God because of the blood of Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Can I forgive my enemies? Fantastic. I never could before. Can I love everybody? Yes. Fantastic. I mean, that's way out there to think that there's that kind of an experience there. That God has made that for you and I. It's something to follow after. I think of all the interpretations lately that I've been hearing of the religious world about Revelations, and I delve into it very rarely because of my poor knowledge about it, but I know a fantastic thing when I hear one, just something way out there, and there are so many way things way out there that people are expecting and accepting and thinking the most fantastic things right before you. Lord, help us. Discussing years ago, I had been discussing Revelations with some people, and they had some real ideas about it, and I didn't accept them. I didn't believe it, and it upset them that I didn't believe it because they thought I was so lost because of it and all of that. And I remember right at about the same time the phone rings, and one of them says to the other, said, "If that's for me, tell them I'm not here." And I remember thinking, that's putting it in a nutshell right there. That's putting it in a nutshell. I think It's Revelations that mentions about where all liars go. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'll tell you something more fantastic than all the ideas that you can come up with Revelations. There's an idea there that you don't have to be a liar. There's an idea there that we can be delivered from that kind of a life. There's an idea that we can live soberly and righteously and godly right here in this present world. And we can have victory on a daily basis. And when I do have the occasions that I've had in my life of messing up or not doing things up to par, you want me to tell you something that's fantastic? There's an advocate with the Father. Thank God. I mean, thank God. You want to talk about something fantastic that I can go and get the slate cleaned off again. I can go and ask the Lord to forgive me. I can go and get it all straightened up. That's fantastic story. That is a wonderful story. Well, Lord help us. I'm thinking in John, the 18th chapter. Oh, let's see. Now I'll pick it up at sixth verse. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? The cup. That expression, I'm not thinking it's particular places, but that the idea of the cup was used in the scriptures quite often. The idea of the cup. I think there's some Old Testament scriptures. One of it was the cup of fury, I think. There was a cup of indignation. I think in Revelations, the woman had a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness, I think, or something like that. There was a cup for these different things. There was a cup of his wrath and the cup. And the idea of this signification of this cup, really, as it's used in these different things, you have a cup. Yes. I have a cup. Yes. We all have a cup. And what it's really referring to is the lot of life. It's good or bad. It's what you have to face. In a general sense, that's what it's talking about. Whatever you have to face, here's your cup. You got to drink it. That's the idea of it. God knows how to help us, folks. God knows how to work with our life. Peter was trying to shortchange the process. He was trying to alter it. When Jesus says to Peter, Peter, put your sword up. There's something greater involved here. If Peter would have only known what this really meant, he'd have never pulled that sword. Could you imagine trying to stop Jesus from being crucified? We'd all want to be that's injustice, it's all these things, but Peter's ready to fight to keep Jesus from being crucified for him. It's a bad idea. Peter really had a bad idea there. He was trying to take away the cup, and when Jesus recognizes this, he says, put your sword up. Peter, don't shortchange it. Don't try to fight it. Don't try to get around it. This is what's got to happen. This is the process. This is what's in my cup. Should I not drink what the Father has put in my cup? Well, you know, as I think about that, I think about my own life. I think about your all's lives. I think about all of our lives. I think about our national life, our communal life. I think of all the life around us. And I think we pray sometimes some pretty serious prayers, like save my family. Lord, have mercy on our country, on our community, on around us. But I'm afraid sometimes we pray the prayer and then we draw the sword. And anything that don't, I mean, I pray the prayer and then I try to intervene to keep all the things that can, that's the cup. And Jesus said, I mean, Jesus knows what's in the cup. Amen. I mean, Jesus knows this is part of the cup. And Peter, this is my Father's cup. This is the will that he has for me. I didn't make me. I didn't make me. You understand? You didn't make you. If I'd have, in my idea of me, I would have made me different. In a lot of ways, I don't necessarily like this. I know God made me, and I'm not going to say anything, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's things that I could have done different. If I think about it, God knows what he's doing. God made me. No, he made me when he made me. He made me how he made me. He made me with certain things to have to overcome that you don't think about. You have things that I don't think about. You have a cup to the glory of God. Do you know what those things in your life and the things that come into your life? God has all of the witnesses that he needs. If we'll follow. If we'll drink our cup. Lord, I know God's got grace. It appeared to all men. We can do fantastic things in a simple way. We can show the world that Jesus Christ still reigns. He still rules. That there's power in salvation that you can overcome in this world. You may not have the same trial, but when I stand up to my trial, there's a cup for me. There's a cup that's going to say, what are you going to do? Should I not drink this cup? Should I fight against this cup or try to get rid of this cup? No, this is my Father's. Put me in it. Not all of us going to live. These are just truths. I hope it ain't offensive to anybody. Not everybody going to live to be 80 and be healthy every day. They'll be in that, to the saint of God, a witness. A strong, strong, faithful witness. Over in Hebrews, there was an expression made over there of a great cloud of witnesses. I think it's the 12th chapter. You read it in the first few verses. The great cloud of witnesses. Now, if you look at what that's talking about is what he had just said in the 11th of those faithful people. And they were, he said, a cloud. And I like the idea of it because a cloud is made up of a lot of individual pieces and particles. A cloud, it's a good representation. A dust cloud would be millions of particles. And not one particle is a cloud. It takes a lot of particles. This great cloud of witnesses make up a totality of witnesses. I think the idea is that the cloud grows, it's still growing. The witnessing is still growing. There's a great cloud of witnesses. I know since that time there's been many saints in my life that witnessed God. They witnessed it through their trials. They witnessed it through a great cloud of witnesses. And every one of them drunk their cup. Every one of them come up and accepted the place that they were in life. Some of them died young. Some of them died tragically. Some of them was thrown to lions. Not everybody was a Daniel that got delivered out. But there was witnesses and they drunk their cup in their time. They drunk it. There was those that was pulled to pieces. Saul and son of the scripture said some of them wouldn't even accept deliverance. Lord help us. These folks was up there. They wouldn't accept deliverance that they might have a better resurrection. That they'd have a stronger witness. The cup came. They said, give me the fullness of that cup. Let me drink that to show the glory of God that I can. You might be hating me while you're stoning me to death. But I'm loving you back and watch who wins. The grace of God is able for us to drink our cup and witness to God. We witness to the people around us. A great cloud of witnesses. There was a great cloud. And oh, yeah, it took in those that was had fame. The name of Moses and Noah and Abraham ring through the ages. There's a lot of them that didn't ring through. There's a lot of people that never got their names wrote down. This cloud of witnesses, though, didn't mention all of them. Yes, yeah, Samson at the end. He was a strong man. We know the story. He's mentioned in there of his final faithful thing that he had of believing in God. Sure, there's a lot of them in there that was notable. There's a lot of them, mate. A lot of the witnesses wasn't there. But what they all did, they all faced the life that they had and the things that the Lord had sent into their life to show the world that there's a God. There's a God in heaven that's able to help us in life. And when it comes down to our place now, I told somebody one time that was, well, I'll just say it out. They had a bad marriage. And it was tearing at them. And they was endeavoring to serve the Lord, and their bad marriage was at them. And I was sympathetic at it, but my point was to them is, I don't know what to say. A lot of things in life I've went through. And I hope I never go through what you're going through. I hope I never learn that lesson like you do. But if you want to serve God, I can tell you this. This is your moment to show the world that in this circumstance, there is the grace of God. There is a power for you to show the world that in this hard situation, God is able to give peace and grace and strength. And this is your cup, brother, not mine. I don't have this cup, but this cup is full for you. And you can show now, if you're really serious in serving the Lord, you can buckle down now and you can quit pulling the sword out. And you can quit trying to fight it. And you can say, Lord, let me drink the fullness of this cup that I might show the world that God is still God. Oh, some of these places are very, very difficult places. Brother Jim White is one of those that was in the cloud for me. He had a similar situation like that. Wife was contrary to him. He admits a lot of it was his trouble. He told me the early days that he caused a lot of the problem. He didn't try to get out of all that, but he was in a real place. And it got so ugly and so bad that most everybody would have run from it. And I remember him telling the story. Brother Jim goes to Brother Sammons for counsel and said, what would you do? And Brother Salmon said, there is nobody around, nobody among the saints, nobody around that would blame you if you got out of that situation. But he said, I'll tell you this, your wife won't be saved if you do. And Brother Jim had a hard time. He got down and done something what most men could never, ever do. And by himself, he couldn't have done it. But by the grace of God, he stayed. By the grace of God, the end up story is the day that his wife, before she passed, got to the place that over 30 years of him saying, pray for our wife, pray for our wife, pray on his services, pray for our wife, faithful to go see her when she went to the nursing home, stayed right there with her, done everything he could, and there come the day that she said, would you have him come and pray with me? Want the Lord to help me. And they went and she got wonderfully saved. And Brother Jim said everybody in the nursing home knew she was saved. It cost him 30 years. But folks, he drunk the cup. And the end of it was victory. The end of it was victory. But man done it right. And to my mind, he went into the cloud. And the cloud got a little bigger because he was in there. Because he was able to show. I have never and hope I never have to do such a thing. I'll have my cup though. You'll have your cup. You'll have those people in your life. Not everybody does for some reason. Some people just float on and everybody likes them. And it just seems like it's not their cup. But the Lord has a cup. And sometimes it's just people don't like you and they come against you. And it's just, and what are you going to do about it? It's a cup. And it's not always easy. Several years ago, many of you heard me tell it, I had a guy that got so angry at me that he pulled a gun out and had the gun to my head with his teeth gritting. His knuckles was white on the trigger, and he had it up against my head. The idea was to shoot. That wasn't the most pleasant time that I've had. It was an uncomfortable situation, to say the least. Then when he ended up hitting at me, he didn't want to hit at me. He connected a couple. He tried to hurt me. The Lord protected me through it all. But I felt violated, if y'all know what I mean. I felt like, at the time, I was overcome by emotions of any kind. But that's not exactly the whole story. Yo, devil comes sometimes. And I can feel resentment at that sometimes. And I can feel like that because I know that you're not supposed to think bad things, I can just feel like kind of out of the side of my mind that I could kind of wish the guy wasn't in existence. And I tried to flirt around the ideas that you wouldn't just up and think something like that. But you got to think it on the side a little bit. But the bottom line of it was my cup. I had a cup that was brought to, and I know this is my cup. I'll be honest with you. I felt like cutting somebody's ear off a few times. I felt the battle of it. And I got victory over that. I prayed through that. Several times. Several times I had to. It's just the truth. It would come back. And when I was driving and the family was asleep and it was the middle of the night and I was driving from a meeting, the old devil would come and speak something about what you should have done or how it could have been done. And one thought leads to another and it would come back. And I would have to pray over that. I'll tell you. By my own experience, there is grace of God to love anybody, to love everybody. It's not an emotional feeling of welling up that I just can't stand to be not be with them, that kind of stuff. The best definition is it's appraisal. It's lifting up. That person is valuable is the main line of it. Love means that that's valuable. He's valuable. His soul's valuable. Hating is to depreciate and loving is to appreciate. You value that person. Jesus values them. It isn't about having emotional feelings and those kind of things. It's about having a value to that person, which brings emotions.
Amen.
I had to pray for that and get it, but I'm going to testify to you. It was my cup. And I'm the only one around at the time that can show that I have to drink that. I have to drink that and say to the world, and now I got a testimony that when somebody comes up and says, but they lied about me. But they said some ugly things about me. Yeah, that's right. Try a gun up to your head, brother. Try getting hit in the head with that gun. Try getting fisted a little bit. Try that a little bit. Oh, I ain't trying to say I've had it the worst because the witnesses of the cloud had it worse than I did. Some of these people went through enormous things, immense things to show the power of God. Stephen was one, full of the Holy Ghost. He had something. He also had a cup he was going to have to drink. I don't know if he'd seen it coming. It ain't that fantastic, but it's fantastic what he did. It's amazing what he did. He preached to them, and he was getting with it. Told them, and they got angry and gnashed on him and started picking up rocks and tossing rocks. You know, right in the middle of being stoned to death, he asked the Lord not to lay it to the charge. I'm grace, power. He drank his cup, the full measure of it. Lord, let me drink every drop. Give it to you. He gave his life right there. He drank his cup. I don't know. Could he have got out of that? He could have tried. You throw a rock at me, I can throw one back. I can do these things. I can get out some way or another. Maybe he could have not even preached what the Lord told him to. Maybe he could have denied the Holy Ghost. Maybe he could have done a lot of things and got out of the cup. But there's a cup to drink. And you'll have your cup and I'll have mine. And sometimes it touches, let's be honest, sometimes the one that gets us the most is the people that we love the most and the people that's closest to us. And sometimes there's tough places in that. And sometimes it's just a cup you've got. It's just a cup you've got. Lord help us. Put up your sword unto your sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Well, I'll say this. If it's of the Father, it's a good drink. I don't know how to save myself. I don't know how to make heaven. I don't know what I need to help me along. I don't know those things. But the Lord knows exactly what to put in the cup. The Lord knows what we need to go through life. The Lord, when we pray for our nation, our community, our country, the people around us, don't you know God knows what they need? God knows how to use us to the fullest in it if we'd be willing to do it. So Jesus comes down, and it's right here close, I think, too. Let's see. 20. No, I want to go to Matthew. Go to Matthew 26. Okay. 26 and 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." We very familiar scripture, of course. We use this, of course, at the Lord's service. This is the account. Jesus, it says, and he took the cup and gave thanks. Now, that impressed me. Just by itself, that he took the cup in all of its meaning, his suffering, his blood. He took it and he gave thanks. That's impressive. But it's also challenging. Am I willing to drink my cup? Am I willing, when I pray, Lord, bless my family, help my family to be saved? Am I willing to drink the cup? Am I willing to thank God for the cup? We need to be thankful for the cup. This is our salvation. This is our salvation. When we say, "Lord, I want to be saved. What will it take?" Remember several years ago, this was not a night dream. It was a day dream. It was a vision of the day. But I remember it was vivid to me. I remember it was in a service or something that was going, and I remember in my mind, this just impressed on me of coming to the Lord and him saying, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." And it was shocking to me because, I mean, just thinking about it, just hit on, and it was like, in my mind, I said, "But Lord, wasn't there anything that you could have done to save me?" And the answer was, "Yes, but you didn't want it." And I remember in my day vision saying, "Now wait a minute." Yes, I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm struggling here. Lord have mercy. Help me to be able to say, "Yes, Lord. Whatever the cup is for me, whatever it is that you have in mind, Lord, lead me on. Help me to be able to drink it. I don't think that these scriptures, very powerful scriptures, very familiar and powerful scriptures, are there for no reason. I think they went down through the ages for the saints of God, for the people of God, to draw courage. I'm glad some of them are the way they are. I know Jesus was the Son of God. I know in His divinity that He created everything. I don't think anything's impossible for Him. He is fantastic. But He showed us the human side. Thank God. I need that. Because I don't have the privilege of being the creator of the universe. He showed us the human side. He laid down, folks. He laid down His divinity. And lived in His manhood. And when He did, in the 36th verse, He says, "Then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto His disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then say He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." So, very familiar. But for our, no doubt for our edification, for our understanding that Jesus labored. Jesus had to, you know what He teaches us here? The lesson of all the scriptures. Without Me, you can do nothing. Jesus is telling us, you've got to contact God. I have to. You have to. I need, as a man, I need to contact with the heavenly. You do too. If He did, we do. But if we can come to the point that we can say, not My will on any of these matters, but Thy will be done. Lord, the cup that You mix for Me, let Me drink it. Give Me the strength and power to drink it. The idea of the cup, folks, is not negative. It's not positive. It is. It is. Sometimes the cup has great blessings in it. We sit in these kind of places by the will of God and drink a cup. Lord, let me drink as much of it if You'll give me. Let me drink that cup too. We've already heard, it's not wrong to have the blessings of God in our life. You know, there's a couple of scriptures that actually says, I won't quote them exact, but they actually says that the reward of labor is a gift of God. Well, of course it is. You plant a tree and tend it and do all that and it gets fruit. Of course you've got the right to eat it and to sell it and to have profit off of it. And all life is that way. And it's a gift of God. And in our lives, we're no feeling guilty about the gift of God. It's what we do with everything we have and how we drink the cup. Lord, I put all of this, but I want to drink Your cup. I may be blessed with all of this, but when those kind of things, there was a man in the scripture that was the single greatest character to me in the scriptures, at the exception of Jesus, but it was a man named Job. I get great challenged by Job. And I'm going to tell you why. I'll just be honest and tell you why. Because I struggle in the areas that he overcome in. You know, it said that he, through all of that, that he didn't murmur or complain. He didn't charge God foolishly. And I look at that and say, bless the Lord. I mean, just incredible that he had that mind. And I've struggled and labored about why you don't want this. And God giveth. And God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, Job, what a character. And you know what he done? It seemed like he drank his cup. Oh, I know the whole story of Job, but there was a cup. Yeah.
to drink. Job was a very, very prosperous man. God gave it to him and he enjoyed it as well as everybody should that gets blessed by the labors of their hands. But there was a cup that came by too. And God gives and God taketh away. God has blessed us in the country to be prosperous and have food and all those kind of things. And what are we going to do with the cup that's handed to us? This is a cup. Do you know your blessings is a cup that you're going to have, you drink? What are you going to do with it? Lord, have you got something in mind for my cup? If you pour this out, you give me this cup for me to, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to tell you, it's a great responsibility. Don't just think I'd love to be some millionaire. I'm going to tell you, your responsibility goes exponentially up. The more you get, the more you got, the more responsible you are for those kind of things. So, Lord, help us. Are we going to drink our cup faithfully? Here you go, brother, the Lord says. Here, I'll make your fields to bring forth plenty. Well, why not? You planted them. You worked them. Bringing forth is okay. But he said within himself, I know what I'll do. I'll tear it. Now, I'm going to say this because I think it's very important. This man never did any of this. This was only a thought in his mind. He had a cup. God handed him a cup. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. He didn't tear down no barns. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to store all my goods. And I'm going to say to my soul. Now you're getting into the problem with what he really had. What he really done. He denied the Lord. He had a cup that he needed to drink faithfully. Jesus here says, Father, if this cup can pass by me, take it from me. Who would want to go through what he was going to go through? He knew what he was doing. Well, who would want to? Nobody would want to. Do you have a right to pray when you're sick? You do. You have a right to ask the God of heaven to change your circumstances? Of course you do. Of course we all do. But if this is uncomfortable, it doesn't seem like it's working. God does a lot of miracles for us. God puts us in a lot of places and help us. I can say positively of all the healings and blessings that the Lord's given us in our life. There have been many times that we prayed and the Lord changed the things. That's not the bottom of it though. The bottom of it is whether I'm going to drink this cup faithfully or not. Lord, am I going to go on with the right heart and the right attitude and the right way, and I'm witnessing for you? If you don't do it, you're still God. If you allow my life to take this on, can I say, so be it, Lord? Well, old Apostle Paul had some cups to drink. The man drunk, he had his cup. Well, he's going to, and you, some of the ways that we think and want things to be, we think a man that was so blessed of God as the Apostle Paul was and ended up with such wisdom and understanding of God and wrote the books of the Bible that the doors ought to have swung open before he even got to them. They should have just swung open and people should, it should have been smooth sailing. Well, no smooth sailing for him. Shipwrecks, whipped, striped, snake bit, all of those things. All the cup that he had to drink, then get down to the end, get down there and going to do something for the Lord, find himself with Roman shackles on his legs. But he drank his cup. And his expression is, I always love it because you find out some of those books, he starts off by saying, Paul the Apostle, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it was Roman iron. No, it was Jesus' irons around my leg. Jesus put me in this place. It's only the cup he gave me. For what reason? To write the books of the Bible. God had a point for him and wanted him to accomplish something and gave him the way to do it. You ever hear of Pilgrim's Progress? There was something fascinating about Pilgrim's Progress. It was John Bunyan wrote a number of things, but that was probably his most credible work, right? That's what he's known for. I think he was in prison cell, if I'm not mistaken, 13 and a half years.
What's amazing about that is he started Pilgrim's Progress at about 11 years, I think. Come on, get it going here. We're going to let you out when you get this done. We got something we want to bless the world with here. We got a cup for you to drink. Well, if it takes our family being saved, are we willing? I mean, are we willing to drink the cup? Do we trust the Lord enough to know that all things work together for good? That God is really, as we say, He really is in control. Say it, but don't live it. One of the things I last 2 years that's really been on me is that this is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And that I can live by this, and I need to apply and put it into my life instead of it just being an idea. I really put it in there and I really believe it. I had the great privilege not long ago to meet some people that's so unlike me, and I got to really talking with them, and I mean really not like me. A lot not like me. And I started really talking with them, and one of the things that come out the most with me is that I started learning, because see, when I say something to you and about you say amen, and then you say something to me and I say amen, and we amen one another real good. Well, I was saying something to somebody that wasn't amening me. And you know what I started finding out in the conversation, where I was trying to be careful with the conversation? My most valid points was always the Word of God. And I started saying, wow, I really believe this stuff. I was never challenged like that before. I just believed. But this, no. They would come out and I'd say, no, well, the Bible says this, so this is why I do this. And I went, wow, I really do that. Lord's real. Those things are real. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And I want to tell you, there is a reason why this is recorded. The great Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah, the Deliverer, our Redeemer, the one that raised the dead, the one that healed the blind and caused the lame to walk and the dumb to hear or speak and the dumb to hear. I'm telling you, this is the guy, all this, and he, one prayer wasn't enough. He had to pray again. He went and prayed, and then he had to go pray again. And then he had to go pray again. He said, not my will. He struggled with this will of God to drink the cup. You know what? Sometimes we're going to have to get real serious. He made a way for you and I to drink our cup. He gives a powerful, powerful grace for you and I that we can drink the cup that the Lord gives us. And I'm so glad that he did that, that I know that I can do it. And I like to tell this story. It's one of my testimonies. But when my first wife was dying, there was a lot going on. And I came to the place that I honestly felt, it was no mind of me quitting the Lord, if you understand that. I just didn't feel like that I could go on emotionally. I didn't feel like I could go on with it. And I remember where I was standing and looking up into the sky. Well, it was sky, but I was looking up. And I prayed and told the Lord, I'm at the end of the rope. Lord, I'm done. I don't have the fortitude and strength to keep doing this. If you don't help me, Lord, I'm going to perish. I cannot go on. And you know, folks, heaven opened up. And I was flooded. I was flooded with a peace. I was flooded with an assurance that I can go on. The circumstances never changed. Folks, the cup had not changed. But the grace God gave me was to drink it.
And I want to testify to the glory of God here. I have used the experience of those years in my ministry as much as anything to help people that I have to deal with. I understand that. I understand the emotion. I understand the guilt that you feel. I understand how to go through that. That time and time again, God has used that for a ministry because I drunk the cup.
Amen.
I could have tried to get out of the cup. I could have done everything, but I drunk the cup, and because I did. I was standing at the gas pumps one day, and one of the pipeliners that was in putting the pipeline in come in. He was kind of a middle-aged black man, and he come in there, and I started talking to him there, and a little bit. It's amazing what God can do. I started talking to him a little bit, and all of a sudden things started opening up, and I asked him where he was from and how he was doing, and I don't know how it all even led to that at two men at the gas pump. But all of a sudden he tells me, I lost my wife a couple years ago. Well, I said, I'm sorry to hear that. And I can't get over it, he said. Can't get over it. And I started telling him, I lost mine too. And I know how you feel. And I started talking to him. And he was like, that's exactly, yeah, that's right. That's right, brother. He said, that's right. He says, my pastor told me that too. He said, and I ended up, we had the best fellowship. And he thanked me. I invited him to church. I thought maybe he'd come. He didn't. I've never seen him again. But I'm going to tell you, I had something because I drunk the cup. And there was something that, you know, the Lord wanted something. And he got something. And it was a rich place. But I want to go? No, but it was a cup. I can't do anything about it. I know God watched out for her salvation, my salvation, my family's salvation. I know God did what's best. And he gave a cup. You have a cup to drink. The Lord's going to, I don't know what's going to all be mixed in it. There might be some sorrow, some sadness. Might be some glory. Might be some riches. There might be some poverty. I don't know what's all mixed in the cup. But God's got a cup for you. We can be like old Peter and start pulling the sword out and try to cut and try to get out and try to dance around and try to get it. Do anything but drink my cup. But I'll recommend this. Follow the Lord's pattern. And when the cup seems too bitter to taste, it's too much to swallow, go and ask the Lord to help you to do it. And then after you ask him and it don't go down, you can go again. And we have the privilege of following in the Lord's footsteps until we get there and say, till we can say, I got it now. I'm able to drink it. And because the Lord, because Peter did not stop Jesus in his course, we have found eternal salvation. Thank the Lord. Amen.